live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
And that is how we start this afternoon's WKAR's current sports. I love that new intro. What is up, beautiful people? It is Thursday, May 25th. 2017. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. I am so excited about today's Current Sports. We will tackle various topics on today's show. Looking forward to talking about NFL OTAs because it amazes me how around this time of the year, even though we are months away from the start of the NFL season, people love to talk about organized team activities, OTAs, better known as OTAs, right? Because it's really the first time you get to see what your team looks like. However, no one's really hitting each other in practice. I mean, a lot of guys running around with helmets on, but rocking T-shirts, shorts, no pads. So in my opinion, it really does not mean a lot. However, I always chuckle at some of the headlines that come out of OTAs. So we'll talk about how the Lions look this week when it comes to organized team activities. You don't want to miss that. Also, the Detroit Tigers topping the Houston Astros last night. We will put a wrap. I shouldn't say a wrap on that series because they still do have one more game left to play with Justin Verlander taking the mound tonight. However, the Tigers finally getting a win against Houston. We'll chat about that a bit. Also, it is Thursday, and each and every Thursday, we love to hop into our current sports time machine to take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. We dub it Throwback Thursday. It is certainly a busy Throwback Thursday, to say the least. Find out a few of the Throwback Thursday moments, what those moments are in just a moment. And the list includes names like Babe Ruth, Muhammad Ali. Need I go further? I mean, Babe Ruth and Muhammad Ali are two of the biggest names in sports history, folks. So you want to stick around to find out how those two names link to this particular date in sports history. And I will be asking a very serious question to all of our current sports listeners and fans out there as it relates to what took place earlier this week out in Manchester. Yeah, we'll get serious a bit with you later on. You don't want to miss that conversation. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call to be a part of the show. You can also weigh in via social media. Simply go to facebook.com/currentsports where you can listen and look behind the scenes at what we're doing here. Live on Current Sports all the way up until 2 p.m. We, of course, live each and every Current Sports. We air the live stream, I should say, each and every Current Sports via Facebook.com, via Facebook Live. And also even tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, at WKAR underscore sports. But hey, what's that sound? That's right. It's the sound of the Current Sports quick hit headliner music coming your way right now. All All right, and we begin with the Diamond Classic, which will resume today, one of my favorite high school tournaments. Today marks day three of the Capital Area Dean Shippey Diamond Classic at Kircher Municipal Park. Today, the tourney will feature two games. Game one, taking place at 5 p.m., will feature the Holt Rams taking on the St. John's Red Wings. And if you look at game two, which I'm pretty excited about as well, that will take place at 7 p.m. and will feature DeWitt and Okemos. In this matchup, Okemos already has a game under its belt. They shut out Portland St. Pat 4-0 on Monday. All right, yesterday was the last day for early entry players to withdraw their names from the NBA draft. DJ Wilson became Michigan's sixth player since 2011 to leave early for the NBA. According to Rod Beard of the Detroit News, Wilson has a guaranteed buzz from the Utah Jazz at 30th overall. And many NBA draft sites have Wilson projected as a late first-round pick. When it comes to the German, Mo Wagner, the Wolverine star, has decided to return for another year with John Beilein's program. How about that? Big news there. Not sure if DJ Wilson should have left this early. Yeah, I'll have a take on that later on. All right, moving on. This is a very cool story. You guys remember, of course, Michigan State punter Mike Sadler, right? Who sadly passed away in a car accident last July. Well, Mike Sadler now has a beer named after him, or in his honor, I should say. The beer is a wheat ale called, quote, Hey Diddle Diddle, end quote. That's according to a Wednesday post on the brewery's website. The announcement notes that Sadler liked to experiment with home brewing and, quote, it seemed perfect to create a beer reflecting the personality of Mike, end quote. Jagged Mountain Brewery out in Colorado has created that beer to honor late members of Sadler's family, including his mother, Karen, and sister, Katie. They, too, participated in the brewing process. The beer will be unveiled at a release party on June 2nd. How cool is that? The brewery is donating $1 of every pint sold to the Mike Sadler Foundation. All right, the Detroit Tigers broke a tie by scoring twice in the eighth inning against the Houston Astros relief ace Chris Devenski. And Jose Iglesias capped a big night with a two-run homer in the ninth as the Tigers snapped a three-game losing streak with a 6-3 win last night at Minute Maid Park. The stellar relief work by the Tigers was bolstered with some terrific deeds by left fielder Justin Upton, who made a long run into the gap in left center to start the eighth to snag a ball off the bat of Marwin Gonzalez. Tigers reliever Shane Green retired the next two batters in order for a clean inning. Upton's play had a catch probability of, get this, 26%, according to StatCast. And for those that checked out that highlight last night, was that sweet or what? In my opinion, it should have been on ESPN SportsCenter's top 10 plays of the night. But hey, grasping at straws there. All right, Justin Verlander, unbeaten in seven career outings against the Astros, will put that streak on the line when he gets to start in tonight's series finale at 8:10 p.m. at Minute Maid Park. Verlander beat Houston twice last year, striking out 19 batters over 15 innings of work. The Detroit Red Wings have signed free agent defenseman Libor Sulak to a two-year entry-level contract. The team made that announcement yesterday. Now, Sulak, who is 23 years old, has spent the past two seasons playing in Austria's top professional league. He was the league's rookie of the year in 2016 and finished fourth in scoring with 10 goals and 28 points for his team this year. The Vertical was first to report that the Atlanta Hawks have settled on Golden State Warriors executive Travis Schenlich for the vacant general manager spot, denying former Piston great Chauncey Billups a chance to run a team for the first time. NBA Hall of Famer and former Pistons president that actually orchestrated, of course, the Going to Work Pistons championship run back in 2004, that being Joe Dumars, was also rumored to be a possibility for the Hawks. Billups recently signed a contract extension with ESPN as a basketball analyst, but it's likely his name will continue to be attached to front office openings in the NBA. And last but certainly not least, folks, that's right. Get your coffee ready. Get your favorite beverage. If it's not coffee ready, get your favorite snack, because it is going to be a fun night of professional playoff sporting action. In the NBA playoffs tonight, LeBron James, the King, and the Cleveland Cavaliers have the opportunity to book a ticket to the NBA Finals with a 3-1 series lead over the Boston Celtics. Tip time is set tonight for 8:30 p.m. at the Garden. You better believe the Boston Celtics are going to bring it, because let's be real here, the last two games have been quite competitive. Looking forward to seeing that one. Also, the two greatest words in sports. Think about it. Game 7. Oh, boy. I can't wait for this either. A Game 7 matchup between the Ottawa Senators and the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight at 8 p.m. This game will decide who meets the Nashville Predators, who, by the way, the Predators making their very first trip in franchise history to the Stanley Cup Finals. Yeah, Ottawa or Pittsburgh will book a ticket to meet Nashville. Kick back and relax, sports fans. It should be a fun, fun night. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliner. So much to get to, so little time. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, again, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Without further ado, let's start the show.
Suspected of carrying out last night's atrocity is 22-year-old Salman Abebe.
The single terrorist detonated his improvised explosive device near one of the exits of the venue, deliberately choosing the time and place to cause maximum carnage.
I will call them from now on losers, because that's what they are. They're losers.
How did this bomber learn how to make this? In general, it's, I think, highly unlikely that he just learned about it on the internet.
And that is how we start this Thursday afternoon version of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, again, extending a huge thanks to all of our listeners out there. So honored you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. This is a topic we've been waiting to get to since the beginning of this week. As you just heard in that introduction montage, I have a question that I want to pose to our listeners out there, all of these sports fans out there, those who attend sporting events on the regular, those who spend their hard-earned money going into venues in which, in many cases, encompass thousands and thousands of sports fans, because it's a legit question. I want to know, how safe do you feel? That's the question I want to pose to you all. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. How safe do you feel? As I went to Rainey Park earlier this week, on Monday to be exact, of course, Rainey Park, the venue of the Softball Classic Championship Tourney, featuring some of the top softball high school teams in the area. Bob Every, chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, doing a fantastic job each and every year of organizing that tournament, by the way. But, of course, the championship game was moved to Monday because on Friday it was rained out. So us here at WKAR, we covered the championship game between the Grand Ledge Comets and the Eaton Rapids Greyhounds. And I would say about halfway through the game is when I began tweeting, because, I mean, that's what us journalists do nowadays, right? I mean, if you're at a sporting event, you have to be active on social media, because that's where, in large part, our audience lies. So I tweet regularly when it comes to whenever I'm covering anything. And I was ready to give a score update of that game, and I went on Twitter, and the first thing that I saw was a tweet from ESPN's Hannah Storm. And she had sent out a tweet saying, thoughts and prayers, something of the like. I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, something of the like of thoughts and prayers go out to Manchester and Ariana Grande for what has happened today. And I immediately became puzzled. Again, this is halfway through the game. I'm ready to send out a score update from the game, and I see that tweet. So I proceeded to give a score update, and then I immediately began some social media investigation. And that's all I saw on my timeline after I posted my tweet. Video, the first tweet I saw was video of people running out of Manchester Arena, running downstairs in total panic. Screams of terror. And then I began to go on to different publications left and right on social media to see other images that broke my heart. A story like this just simply breaks your heart. A 22-year-old young man out in Manchester found a weak spot in security, detonated a bomb just outside the Manchester Arena in northern England, right after a concert of artist Ariana Grande's, whose fan base, by the way, is young girls, teenagers and younger. Young girls there to see one of their favorite artists there with their families and friends, and some sick individual decides to spoil all of that. Pure terror, pure panic, as people flooded out at the end of the performance. The suicide attacker killed at least 22 people at that concert, packed with children, one Monday. In Britain's deadliest bombing in nearly 12 years, ISIS claimed responsibility. And looking at the ripple effect and looking at the response from those across the globe, it's been riveting. Those in sports, of course, also involved in sharing their thoughts on what happened earlier this week. Manchester City, and Manchester United actually have donated a lot of money, over $1 million, to a fund for victims of the Manchester bomb attack. The clubs made the donation to the We Love Manchester Emergency Fund, set up directly following the attack at the Manchester Arena. And to directly relate this conversation to the world of sports, because it has a direct relation. I mean, just imagine all of the people in this great country, all of the people around the world that attend athletic events, right? Different sporting events. Thousands and thousands of people that attend the Super Bowl. Thousands of people that attend the NBA, NHL finals. I mean, everywhere. Across the globe, we're talking about. I can't help but think, you know, myself as a reporter, when I go to games and when I'm in a big venue, right? Previously, I've never thought about Because that's not something you want to think about, right? When you go and enjoy one of your favorite teams, or when I'm at work covering a Michigan State football game or an MSU basketball game, or when I'm on the road out in Indy covering the Big Ten championship, it's never crossed my mind to think about my safety. But after you see something like this, an incident like this that is becoming far too often here in our world, you can't help but have second thoughts now. So my question out there is, how safe do you feel as a fan when you go out and watch your favorite team? Do you feel safe at all? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, because I have mixed emotions about it, because at the same time, when you talk about those who did survive earlier this week out in Manchester, I'm sure they are going through a lot of mental trauma and are second guessing whenever they do leave their houses to possibly go to a place, to an event where there is going to be a lot of people, second guessing whether or not they should go. Because when you go through something like that, and I can only imagine, but when you go through something like that, that takes a mental toll on you. But it's a catch-22, because those who have been through something like that, I mean, I go back to the Boston Marathon when that took place, right? And people, you know, were traumatized from that moment. In order to get over that moment, you can't let the actions of one sick mind, one sick individual, have that kind of effect on your life. In order to get over it, you got to face the music and get it out your system and get out into public. Easier said than done, right? But how do we protect people? That's the big question here, too. You know, the Manchester bombing is forcing entertainment venues and security forces worldwide to look urgently for better ways to protect the public. But also, the other ripple effect in that conversation is the questions raised about who should pay for the fast rising cost when beefing up security at these venues. You can't put, in my opinion, you can't put a price on safety. But it's so crazy here, because I also can't stop thinking about, you know, how this individual, this the latest in a series of bloody attacks by ISIS, this shows a clear policy in this instance of choosing what they are dubbing, quote unquote, soft targets, where crowds gather in a relaxed atmosphere, in contrast with the vigilant and controlled regime at an airport or at a government building, targeting a quote unquote soft target where security isn't as insane as if you were to go through a security line at your local airport right now. And these were kids we're talking about. These are kids we're talking about. An Ariana Grande concert. A teenage, mostly teenage fan base. It's frustrating having this conversation, I must say. Hundreds have died in such atrocities over the last 2 years. How can you forget the incident at the Bataclan Concert Hall in Paris? We talked about that when that happened here on our airwaves. The Bastille Day truck attack in Nice not too long ago. Nightclubs in Florida and Istanbul. At a Berlin Christmas market, and at other scenes of leisure. What is the cost of fear, huh? I saw this. Fans of Canadian singer Justin Bieber actually pleaded for his upcoming British tour dates to be canceled for the safety of both fans and the singer. Chelsea, winners of the English Premier League soccer title, called off a planned victory parade out in London on Sunday in light of the Manchester attack. Other countries have tightened security. France ordered heightened security at sports and cultural events and called for closer coordination between private and public security personnel at those events. Belgium, which has also suffered Islamist attacks, has around 1,200 soldiers guarding its streets right now.
The patrols have cost the state about $100 million in euros. If you equate that to dollars here in the U.S. of A., that's about $112 million. No bags are allowed at major sports events in Belgium. Soldiers and armed police are at football matches and bigger concerts. That's the ripple effect, folks. It is a sad world we live in right now. And I can't blame any sports fan for saying that, you know what? I'm safer sitting at home and watching this game rather than taking the risk and attending that event in person, because it is a crazy world we live in where random attacks are happening left and right. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, we are posing the question to our listeners out there, how safe do you feel? I want to invite right now the man behind the glass. No, it is not Isaac Constand, seeing as though Isaac is out in New Orleans. He will be back next week after the Memorial Day holiday. So we have had Drew Henderson, who filled in on Monday. Brad Walker filled in on Wednesday. And we've got current sports intern Jacob Herbert, who's doing a great job, by the way. He filled in on Tuesday. He'll be filling in today and tomorrow. Jacob Herbert, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing good. Great so far.
I want to pose the question to you, Jacob, because I'm sure you've seen this story, right? And I can only imagine what went through your mind. Probably much of what went through much of the population here in the world when you saw what happened on Monday. Equating this to a sporting conversation and fans out there, fans who have season tickets and fans who attend sporting events on the regular, I have to ask you, Jacob, how safe do you feel as a sporting fan after watching instances like this take place over the world?
Well, I actually went to a concert on my own Monday night. I was actually on the way there. I was in downtown Detroit at the Fillmore. I saw a band called the 1975, who's actually from Manchester. I mean, they've played shows at Manchester Arena. They used to hang out there. And, you know, the lead singer was obviously, you know, and I could tell was pretty shaken up with the events. But you brought up the question of safety. And to be completely honest with you, in my mind, it's one of those things that you don't really think about until it affects you, or until you're, you know, in a situation where someone sets out a bomb, you know, at a venue. And I think what's really unfortunate is, you know, for someone my age who's still, you know, I'm 23, I'm still a young kid, I go to a lot of concerts. And, you know, concerts are supposed to be, much like sporting events, they're supposed to be an escape, you know? You get away, you don't have to worry about your problems, all the stresses at school or work or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are places where kids go to escape, and to have something like this happen at a place like that is just, it's, you know, I don't have the words to describe it. It's just very unfortunate. But in terms of safety, like I mentioned, I when I was at that show Monday night, I honestly didn't even think about it. I didn't think about the fact that someone could have planted a bomb. You know, I'm there trying to enjoy, you know, one of my favorite bands. I'm trying to enjoy the show, you know, with all my friends. We're dancing, we're doing whatever. I'm not thinking about that at all.
Exactly. And to be honest, if you were thinking about it, you probably wouldn't have attended the concert in the first place, right?
Right.
If it's that much on your mind, if you're thinking about something like that, I mean, you're probably not in that building. And it's crazy, though. It's a crazy world we live in where, you know, where someone can just so subconsciously think that it's right to go out there and do something like this. It's a sick world we live in right now. And you know, and looking at the cost of it, because that's the other conversation that I'm seeing have a lot when discussing this conversation. I mean, if you do beef up security, how much is that going to cost, and how regular can you make that security available? I see right here in the States, Jacob, that New York's Madison Square Garden, which hosts concerts and professional hockey and basketball games, Madison Square Garden said it had increased security and heightened its police presence after this incident as well. New York Police Department spokesman J. Peter Donald said additional heavy weapons teams would be sent to high-profile locations in the city. This is what Peter Donald went on to say. Quote, New Yorkers will also see explosive detection dogs, highly trained counterterrorism officers, and random bag checks at transit locations, among other things. That's what he said in a statement. And then you look at Mary Micah, who is the executive director of the U.S. Stadium Managers Association, and some members, you know, who are also involved in this conversation, members of that team making statements. Micah went on to say this, Jacob, quote, "In general, people are tightening down on their security procedures, typically increasing their armed security presence around exterior perimeters before, during, and especially after games." So there is a clear ripple effect we're starting to see based off this instance, not just out in Manchester, not just out in the UK, but across the globe. And it's going to cost money. And a lot of people are projecting out there that, okay, how are you going to pay for this? Well, you jack up the ticket prices. Is it fair to the fans, you know, who are trying to go out there and enjoy a concert or trying to go out there and enjoy a sporting event? But again, you can't put a price on safety. I think it's needed right now, Jacob, because it is it's reached a level where you have to constantly have your head on a swivel.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely necessary. Yeah, it's an excuse me. It's unfortunate that you have to spend the money, but like you said, these were kids at this Ariana Grande concert. When I saw, you know, this band, the 1975, on Monday, their fan base is a lot of, you know, 16 to kids my age, 23 years old, and even beyond. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can't put a price on safety, but when it comes to children, when it comes to kids, I think it's even more important. And I've already noticed a little bit of a you mentioned the ripple effect, even right here at home. I mean, I went to the Fillmore on Monday. I've been to, you know, St. Andrews, which is in Detroit. I went to see Chance the Rapper at the Palace.
Right.
And already, you know, they've got the scanners that you walk through at every venue. They pat you down. So, yeah, I've already seen the ripple effect kind of take place already right here at home in Detroit.
For sure. And you know, the thing about this Ariana Grande concert is this happened outside of the concert, right? I mean, yeah, when you go in now, I mean, you have to go through security. I mean, heck, just look at, I mean, especially when you go through an airport security line now, I mean, you got to take off your belt, watch, any chains that you have on. You have to put your laptop and iPad in a separate bin. You got to take off your shoes. You can't have anything in your pockets, even if it's just tissue. There are a lot of measures being taken place within venues, but now you have to worry about the network outside of those respective venues. So again, we're posing a question in segment A here. How safe do you feel? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will have a discussion on NFL OTAs. Gotta love them, right? A lot of harsh conclusions being drawn when it comes to OTAs. We'll discuss what's taking place out of the Detroit Lions camp. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. You know, this is really just getting annoying now. I got to get this off my chest. Before we discuss the NFL OTAs, right now I just went to ESPN and I see this headline leading all headlines. LeBron James calls his pursuit of Michael Jordan a, quote, personal goal. I feel like I've been having this conversation for like five straight days now. It is getting so exhausting now. Oh, boy. Just to read the beginning of this headline, I want to read the quote that LeBron had to say today before shoot around in preparation for the Eastern Conference Finals tonight against the Boston Celtics, with LeBron James needing 28 points to pass Michael Jordan for first place on the all-time postseason scoring list. The Cavs star elaborated on his personal pursuit of Jordan's legacy. Quote, "It's just a personal goal of mine. It has nothing to do with passing the rings, passing the points, passing the MVPs. It's just my personal goal to keep me motivated. That's all. Then the article goes on to say, quote, while James is in range of Jordan's playoff scoring mark, his airness still reigns over the King in championships 6-3, MVPs 5-4, and regular season scoring. Jordan is fourth all time. James is seventh. We have been having this conversation. Well, I should say I have been having this conversation away from the mic this week, via social media, on my Facebook page. I've even gotten a few calls from a few of the homies back in the D that want to argue with me that LeBron James is the GOAT. I'm not going to waste airtime today on it. I said I'm going to address it Friday. I am going to bite my tongue while reading this story and address it tomorrow. I even saw, I mean, you see a lot of the greats coming out, some of the greatest to ever play the game coming out and engaging in this banter as well. I saw that Charles Barkley, who I love on TNT, with Inside the NBA with Kenny, the Jet Smith, Ernie Johnson, as well as Shaquille O'Neal. Charles has come out and said that he doesn't even believe that LeBron right now has even passed Kobe Bryant's legacy, let alone Michael Jordan's. And I saw that our very own Scott Pohl, he actually tagged me in the story this morning. Bill Laimbeer, former Detroit Pistons great, weighed in on this debate and said that, quote, I'll take LeBron James, absolutely. Now, again, Bill Laimbeer has a certain bias when it comes to Michael Jordan, seeing as though the Bulls and the Pistons were bitter rivals in the late 80s, early 90s. So I expected that from Bill Laimbeer. But I must say, I love the take from Scottie Pippen that I saw, who played alongside Michael Jordan. Scottie Pippen came out and said, you're comparing the wrong two players. They both play different positions. They're both different players altogether. It's fair to make that comparison with Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant because they were both two guards. They were both the same size. They played similar. LeBron James is a totally different animal in comparison to Michael Jordan. Now, again, this is a question of legacy, overall legacy, but I like where Scottie was going with that. I'll elaborate. You'll hear my whole take on that on tomorrow's Current Sports, so I'll bite my tongue, and you will hear that tomorrow. Tune in, 1 p.m., WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. To the Detroit Lions, shall we? Yes, the Lions began OTAs this week, organized team activities this week, and all of those out there who just love and salivate over the NFL, you all are pretty happy this week because you get to talk NFL, right? I dig it. I dig it. That's the NFL for you. The NFL rules all when it comes to North Americans professional sports, right? So a few key dates I want to throw out. Of course, through yesterday, wrapped up the first off-season OTAs. And if you look at May 30th to the 31st, that will be the second OTA. June 5th to the 6th, the third OTA. June 8th to the 9th will be the final OTA. And there's, to just really elaborate on this conversation, just looking at the NFL as a whole here, you know, there are so many great overreactions that have already come out of NFL OTAs. Already, folks, people are, making these hardcore conclusions as to how certain NFL teams look as the NFL season approaches. Probably my favorite has to be the Odell Beckham Jr. story. Odell Beckham Jr. skipping OTAs to hang out with Johnny Manziel. Yeah, people are really up in arms about this one. I kid you not. I kid you not. Instead of attending New York's OTAs, which are voluntary, I want to throw that out there as well, OBJ decided to work out with Johnny Manziel, who is attempting to make Johnny Football an NFL comeback and is not going over well, particularly with Pat Leonard of the New York Daily News. This is what Pat sent out, or I should say, this is what Pat wrote via the New York Daily News. Quote, Odell Beckham Jr.'s absence from his first 2 days of Giants OTAs didn't look good. The fact he was with Johnny Manziel, of all people, rather than Eli Manning, looks even worse. I mean, come on, really? Really? I mean, it's not like Odell Beckham Jr. was at the club turning up with Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel is known to turn up, right? When it comes to Floyd Mayweather Jr. and as well as gosh, who else was he hanging out with? Oh, Justin Bieber. You guys remember that whole incident, right? Is that like that? You know, he was turning up with Johnny Manziel. They're working out, right? And this is OTAs. It's not mandatory for him to be there. Yet people are flipping out about OBJ not being there. I don't get it. I don't get it. But you know, Odell Beckham Jr. is so intriguing to me, right? He's so intriguing to me because he has so many layers to him. Not only is he one of the best wide receivers I've ever seen play the game, and he's so young, he's only 24 years old. But Odell Beckham Jr. just signed the richest shoe contract for any football player with Nike. How crazy is that, right? When I saw that, I had to do a double take. The richest shoe contract for a football player. Wow, it blew my mind. It blew my mind. You know, in many ways, Jacob, Odell Beckham Jr. reminds me, he's like an NBA player, but in the NFL. You get what I'm saying with this? You know, he likes the attention. He's dating the celebs. You know, I remember when he was hanging out he was dating Zendaya, who's a big name in entertainment, hanging out with the Kardashians. He's getting tattoos of Michael Jackson. Then got a tattoo of a place that you don't want to know about a few weeks ago I saw. But he's so intriguing. He's got the hair. You know, he's got such a dynamic personality. He's all tatted up. He reminds me of an NBA player in the NFL. And I'm curious because the NFL, with the exception of wide receivers we've seen in the past, right? The NFL mostly isn't just a single star-driven league like the NBA. It's more of a collective team effort, right? Because in the NBA, you're playing both sides of the court. In the NBA, they're not wearing helmets, so you get to see these guys up close and personal. You get to see their faces and become more familiar with them than if you are on a football field with pads on, all this equipment on. Oh, yeah, and you can barely see their face because they have a helmet on. But Odell Beckham Jr. has transformed himself into this really marketable personality. Will it work, though, long-term for him in the league, or will he get distracted? That's the big question here, and I think that's why a lot of people are really flipping their wig over this whole Johnny Manziel story. What are your thoughts on OBJ? Before we talk about the Lions here, what are your thoughts on Odell Beckham Jr.? Do you like what he's doing here, Jacob?
I love what he's doing. I love his whole personality and everything. OBJ is the kind of guy who can create storylines by just walking out of his house or his apartment. It's just like, first of all, his appearance, that hair. Yeah. I'm actually thinking about trying that myself. The blonde.
Please don't, Jacob.
Let's put that out to the listeners. Call in. We'll put a Twitter poll. But this whole him skipping out on OTAs, first of all, I guess I didn't really realize that they were voluntary. But even if they weren't voluntary, I don't see the issue with him not going. They just started.
Yeah.
It's not like it's practiced, you know, in like right before week 16. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he's still working out, like he said, he's not going to the club. He's not, you know, doing whatever. I don't see the issue. And by the way, that you mentioned the article in the New York Post.
Yeah.
Did you read the headline?
I did not read the headline. What did it say?
Hey, Beckham. It's called leadership, not leader skip.
Oh, boy.
So
clever.
Talk about a headline
Leonard.
Grab.
All right. Clever. I like it. Yeah, talk about a headline. That's clickbait, isn't it?
Absolutely. I wanted to chime in and say that when you were originally talking, you know, when you brought up the story.
Yeah.
That definitely caught my eye.
And I'll tell you what. I mean, again, he's an NBA player in cleats, in my estimation. And, again, he just signed a massive $25 million shoe deal with Nike. So whatever he's doing, it must be working, right? That will pay him out $1 million a year. And when you look at it, well, excuse me, $5 million annually for the next five, excuse me, do the math, Al. That's why I went into journalism. I'm not a math major, right? $5 million annually for the next 5 years is what OBJ will get. And I'm curious to see what they look like. I'm curious to see if his shoes can really take off. But the dude is really marketing himself, and that's up my due respect. So let's just please stop overreacting. When it comes to the Detroit Lions, Again, I mentioned the key dates. And I do want to throw this out. After the final OTA takes place, June 8th to the 9th, that will be the final OTA. June 13th to the 15th is mandatory minicamp for all players. So when can you start holding these players accountable for showing up and not showing up? Well, mark your calendars, June 13th, all right? The story that has dominated Lions OTAs is, of course, Dave Burkett's story from the Detroit Free Press, centered on Calvin Megatron Johnson not being happy with the way things ended out in the D, him deciding to retire earlier than expected for the Honolulu Blue. The Lions not really digging that and saying, well, you know what? You got to pay back $320,000, which is a drop in the bucket for the Lions. Why even ask for that money back? So that story has really dominated headlines, so much so that Jim Caldwell, head coach of the Lions, came out and made a statement concerning the Calvin Johnson situation and said that it really rubs him the wrong way, that Calvin has been rubbed the wrong way with how things ended here in Detroit. Caldwell expects there to be some dialogue at some point between the organization and Megatron, and he does not like that Calvin is not happy. Needs to be repaired, because I brought up the whole comparison at the beginning of this week. It's so eerily similar to how things ended with Barry Sanders, who I consider to be the greatest Lion to ever play in Detroit. So similar. It went so far with Barry that the Lions decided to sue. It was crazy, crazy. So a household name like Calvin Johnson, you don't want to make this mistake twice. Repair it and retire Calvin's number in Detroit Lions lore. That's what needs to happen. And I don't think it's a beef between Calvin and Jim Caldwell. If you listen to the players and how they feel, I should say, about Jim Caldwell. I mean, Jim Caldwell is a player's coach. The players love playing for Jim Caldwell, and I think it's a big reason why Jim Caldwell has not been let go from the Detroit Lions franchise. The issue isn't with Caldwell, it's with Bob Quinn. A sit-down needs to happen here. Heck, it took Barry Sanders, 5 to 6 years to come back to the franchise. When it comes to now the specifics, away from the drama with Calvin Johnson, when it comes to the specifics of what we've seen this week in OTAs, well, the running backs look good. I don't even know. You can't make these hard assumptions. It's OTAs. These players don't even have pads on. They've got jerseys, shorts, cleats, and a helmet on. No hitting is taking place. However, looking at a few reports, you got to report on something, right? So the beat reporters who follow the Lions have said that Amir Abdullah had reps with the first team. He looked fast and in shape. Take that for what it's worth. Theo Riddick, who came out this offseason and said that, yeah, his wrists were broken, who actually had surgery on his wrist. How crazy is that story, right? Theo Riddick was seen in OTAs with a cast on his left hand, rehabbing from his broken wrist surgery, all right? Who wasn't there, you ask? Well, Tahir Whitehead, linebacker for the Honolulu Blue, was not there. No explanation was given as to why Tahir Whitehead was there. I'm not going to look too far in that, but it looks like there's no drama there. I mean, he just wasn't there. Who knows why? They wouldn't tell the media. However, let's be real here. When drafting Jerod Davis, we all know that Tahir Whitehead, is going to take a backseat a little bit. He's not going to play that middle linebacker spot. Jerod Davis is going to be the middle linebacker for your Detroit Lions this upcoming year. Whitehead wasn't there, no idea why. Glover Quinn also was not there, but he was excused for a family matter. That came out yesterday as well. There's so many questions I have when discussing this Detroit Lions team coming up this upcoming season. And probably one of the players that has the biggest target on his back this season, the biggest target for criticism this upcoming season for me, is Eric Ebron, a player who I believe has tremendously underperformed at the tight end position since the Lions drafted him out of North Carolina. Eric Ebron, will he step up and will he be consistent? We saw flashes last season. There were flashes where I looked and said, okay, I see you, Eric. I see you, brother, using that frame, using those big paws of yours, but it was not consistent. I think he had his best year as a Lion last season. But will he step up? Can he raise his level of play? And can he be a reliable presence in the red zone? Also, Marvin Jones Jr., who was not great last year. He was also a question mark for me. So many questions to be answered, Jacob. So many questions. It's just so early to start making these hardcore statements in OTAs. Let's pump the brakes, Lions fans. Pump the brakes a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
Just real quick, we are talking about the Eric Ebron, who the Lions drafted 10th overall, ahead of one Odell Beckham Jr. Is that right?
That is true. That's
okay.
A good point.
No, I just wanted to make sure.
Where did Odell Beckham go in that year's draft?
I can look it up. I think it was close after Ebron went, but I can check it real quick.
Now, in defense of the Lions at that time, you did have Calvin Megatron Johnson playing on your squad. You didn't need another star receiver, right? And it would have played right into that old dialogue. The Lions just go for the sexy names, and the Lions don't address their needs, right? So I get where they were coming from when it comes to that conversation. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, it's Thursday. We'll hop into our current sports time machine and take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. Don't go anywhere. Throwback Thursday is next. All right. Thank you, MC Hammer. Welcome back to WKER's Current Sports. We have less than 10 minutes left in the show. One comment I do want to read here via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. We have Alex that has weighed in, one of our listeners, and says that, quote, been concerned about this since 9/11. It's made me more vigilant when it comes to attending events, especially Silver Bells, where you are shoulder to shoulder. You just have to stay alert. If you see something, say something. Well said, Alex. Appreciate that. It is Thursday, and each and every Thursday, we love to take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. We call it Throwback Thursday.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Heisman, back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCurry said before.
All right, so what exactly has happened on this particular date in sports? It is May 25th. On this day back in 1922, Babe Ruth was suspended one day and fined $200 for throwing dirt on an umpire. How about Babe Ruth? He had an edge to him. He certainly did. All right, 1935, track and field athlete Jesse Owens, who is a member of my fraternity, actually, AFIA, shout out to Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. Jesse Owens equals or breaks four world records in 45 minutes at a Big Ten meet at Ferry Field in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Remembered as the greatest 45 minutes ever in sports. How about that? In 1951, New York Giant Willie Mays, his first major league game happened on this day back in 51. Not a great outing, though. He only went, he went 0 for 5. So, but yeah, we all know Willie Mays went on to have a great, great MLB career. All right, in 1965, Muhammad Ali, the greatest, KO Sonny Liston in one. Yeah, one round for the heavyweight boxing title rematch.
We note that early, halfway through this first round, that Sonny is shooting mostly, although he's going to the head now, mostly toward that body. You know the old story, you kill the body and the head might follow. chin. Jersey Joe Walcott. Sonny cannot move.
Oh, I know that takes you back, right? Muhammad Ali KOs Sonny Liston in the first round for the heavyweight boxing title. In 1984, Red Sox trade pitcher Dennis Eckersley to the Cubs for Bill Buckner. 2 years later, it was the infamous ball between the legs of Buckner in the 1986 World Series.
Little roller up along first, behind the bag.
How about that taking you down memory lane? And in 1994, Mark Messier scores a natural hat trick for the New York Rangers in Game 6 of the NHL Eastern Conference Finals. The Rangers would then go on to win their first Stanley Cup in 54 years thanks to a Messier game-winning goal in Game 7.
Bernie Nichols looks behind him. Messier won the draw. Lidstra cleared it around. John McClain center for the empty net. Mark Messier. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? He said we will win Game 6. He has just picked up the hat trick.
How about that? Shout out to Jacob Herbert for those fantastic throwback bites. Jacob, you are a hockey guy. Really briefly here, we only got less than a minute left. Who wins Game 7, Senators or Penguins?
I think it's going to be the Penguins. Game 7, they're at home. They've got talent top to bottom. They've been here before. Great run by the Sens, but unfortunately for maybe if you're a Red Wings fan, I think the Pens take it tonight.
Okay. I got them as well. Also, I think Boston wins tonight in the Eastern Conference Finals. I just got a feeling. Avery Bradley said they owe the Boston fans a better showing, seeing as though how games 1 and 2 went, right? So we'll see what happens. All right. Thanks a lot for tuning in, folks. Thanks a lot to Jacob Herbert, all of you out there for listening. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow to close out the week. Take care and be easy, people.